Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. When your family rejects you, God is still with you. As the teenage Jacob shows us, God will show up, back up, and take up our cause when we trust our lives to His care. In today's episode, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, will guide us through 8 family videos from Jacob's life, each showing us that no matter what happens in our lives, if we truly walk with God, He will be with us. This is quite an encouraging message for anyone who has struggled to know if God cares for them. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis as we seek to understand that God is with us.
I'm very glad you're here today. I am so excited about what God's doing in the hearts and lives of people. I tell you, I'm looking forward to next year. I'm already planning next year, and I'm very excited about that. And so what we're doing in this series is kind of a hinge pin for next year. Okay, it's a hinge pin for next year. Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. If you don't get that, why would you live the Christian life? As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, we are of all people most miserable if we do not live for the fact that God is with us and that He's going to take us with Him. Do you love that song? Oh no, you never let go. He should let go of some of us, shouldn't He? Well, let's just be honest, all of us He should let go of, right? And sometimes we just have to admit that we don't know what to do when our family rejects us. And so today we want to talk about that. Would you pray with me? Father, now I pray that we would pay attention to what is said in Your Word, that we might learn from the examples of the Old Testament, that we might find help to be with us in the midst of who we are and what we are doing in every single day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Perhaps you know the pain of family rejection. Maybe it was around the table at Thanksgiving, or perhaps around Christmas, and you know that there were some empty places because of family strife. If that's so, I've got good news for you today. When your family rejects you, God is still with you. Now, I'm going to say that again because you must be asleep. When your family rejects you, God is still with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the teenage Jacob shows us that's so. He shows us that God will show up, back up, and take up our cause when we trust our lives to His care. I'm going to encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 25 today. A lot of what we do in this message is not going to be on the screen, so you'll need your Bibles open. If you didn't bring a Bible, let me encourage you to do so next time. But there's one underneath if you want to grab one in the rack in front of you. We're going to look at 8 family videos, very briefly. Home movies are not my favorite thing. But we're going to look at 8 family videos from Jacob's life. And each one of them shows us that no matter what happens in our lives, if we truly walk with God, God will be with us. So let's take a look at the first video, and it teaches us a lesson right off the bat. And that is, be ready for God's will. God had a plan for you before you were born. God had a plan for you before you were born. Whether you acknowledge it, whether you know it, whether you've discovered it, God won't allow a single person to be born without a plan. It's not like you and me when we just go and what are we going to do today? God doesn't do that. God has a plan for every single day of your life. He has something, though, that He longs for you to do. Now, I would like you to take your 2 fingers, put them on your carotid artery, and see if you've got a pulse. Would you do that, please? No, I'm serious. Do it. You got a pulse? No pulse? You're done. Pulse? You're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. Write it down in your notes, somewhere in the white space. If I'm not dead, I'm not done. Because God doesn't need you anymore once you're dead. You're done. But until then, God has something for you to do. It's the most bizarre truth. And we're going to take a look at that in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. In fact, I'm going to start reading beginning at verse 20. It says this, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian, and Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her.
And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? And so she went to inquire before the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. And so her days were fulfilled for her to give birth. And she gave birth to twins. And the first came out red. And he was like hairy garment all over. And they called his name Esau. And afterward his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And so his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when this happened. How long did he wait for a child? 20 years. And when he bore them. And so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a man, a wild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. I don't know if you caught it, but there's a plan for your life. Would you read with me, please, verse 23 together? And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. You can find this all the way through the scriptures. There is a plan for every single born person. There is a plan for your life. You see, God has a plan. My task is to discover God's purpose for our lives and fulfill that purpose. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 37, 23, read it with me. A man's steps are established by the Lord, and he takes pleasure in his way. God literally creates the foundation of your steps. He's trying to guide you in the direction you want to go. You can go your own way. I want to tell you that right now. You can. You don't have to do the plan of God for your life. But oh, the pain you reap when you don't do what you're designed for. And Jacob's going to teach us that. Many wonder about God's plan because of the mess they've already made of it. Jacob tells us that if we will get back to the plan, God will start removing the pain. But the present pain we have is of our own doing, not of God's. God designed families, and in the process of designing a family, He designed us to treat each other with generosity and kindness. However, Jacob did not treat Esau with generosity and kindness. And Jacob, in his home, chose not to obey God by showering them with his brother and his family with love. You can see the division we've already talked about. Jacob is a mama's boy. Esau is a papa's boy. And there's a split in the house. There's a split in the house. Well, your actions are going to come back to haunt you. Galatians 6, 7, we already know. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap. So you need to come to the second video in Jacob's life, and that is you need to be honest with God. You may have driven your family away. You may be the problem. I know it's not true in every case. But you just need to be honest. Whatever the situation is, you need to be honest with God. You may be the jerk. Some of you aren't ready for that one. Okay? How many of you have a jerk in the family? Just raise your hand. Come on. Some of you are going to be lying if you don't raise your hands. Okay? Okay. Those of you who don't have a jerk in the family, you might be it. Okay? Okay? Just don't know it. Okay? Every family's got a jerk or two. Okay? And we just got to be honest with God. Did you catch that verse that we just read a moment ago? When Jacob is busy dealing with this problem, and he's going over, take a look at verse 29, chapter 25. Jacob cooked a stew, and now Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me some of that red stew, I'm weary. Therefore his name is called Edom, which means red. And Jacob said, sell me the birthright as of this day. Now, you got to understand that there's got to be something else to eat in the house. So this stew isn't being prepared in the kitchen. This stew is being prepared a distance away from the kitchen. Because Jacob is strategic. And this is a con. This is a strategy. And so we take a look, and he says, look, I'm about to die. What is the birthright to me? Now, you've got to understand that the birthright's kind of important. There's two brothers. Isaac has inherited, their father, has inherited all of the fortune of Abraham. Plus, Isaac has expanded it. And so in an American deed, you would think 50% goes to Jacob and 50% goes to Esau. After all, they're twins, right? But Esau was born first. The birthright in Israel says he gets a double portion. It's like there's three kids. He gets 66%. Jacob gets 33%. If you've ever read this story and you don't catch on what's going on, let me tell you what's going on. Jacob is a money-grubbing, hungry, little evil guy. He's just greedy. He and Daffy Duck would be twin brothers. I want it all. It's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. They're twin brothers. Okay? And look what it says. Verse 33. Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold him the birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Lentils. Red bean soup. And he gave away 33% of the millionaire's inheritance for bean soup. And I want you to notice, he ate and he drank, he arose and he went his way, and thus Esau, what? Despised his birthright. Catch verse 34. Read it with me again, that underlying portion. So Esau despised his birthright. Now, if Esau loathed or despised his birthright, what do you think he thought of Jacob who stole it? The second incident, if you jump over to chapter 27, two incidents here in this video, we see that Jacob's mother, Rebekah, is orchestrating another deception, another fraud. Guess what it's about? Money, 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 money! Money! I mean, it's all about the money. If you thought that these Bible people were different than you, smack yourself and wake up. It's all about the money. If you think the 21st century is something new and greed and avarice are all about now, you missed the point. This is Genesis. We got 65 more books to go to get to Revelation. Okay? We got a long way. We got 38 more books to get to Matthew. I mean, we got a long way to go. And it's avarice. Take a look at verses 24 through verse 40. I'm just going to summarize this whole idea. You know the story if you've read through the Old Testament with me. Here we have Isaac is about ready to die. And so he's going to give the family blessing now to his sons. And even though the birthright's been stolen, that's a legal document, so to speak, Esau's balanced that upsetness out by the reality that if he can get the blessing of his father, he will get a great prosperity and favor from God. And so it's blessing day. And Rebekah hears about it, the wife of Isaac. She hears about it. And so she puts together a conniving plan. Remember that Rebekah happens to be Laban's sister-brother relationship. Well, that's important. Okay? And so she puts together a plan. Now, Esau's all hairy. He's got lots of testosterone. Okay? Jacob's a little more feminine. Okay? He smells good. He uses cologne and aftershave. And so, there's a big ears problem here, because if you're going to get blessed, the voices can't be changed and the appearance can't be changed. Well, she figured it out. She went, slaughtered a goat, stuck goat hair on him, and put on Esau's clothes, so he smelled like Esau, and then stole the blessing from him. Even Isaac knew it wasn't, but he was blind from old age, and he trusted, instead of following his spirit, he trusted his senses, and sure enough, Jacob gets away with stealing the blessing. Now he's got two-thirds of the inheritance, and he's got the favor of God. The blessing of the father. Well, now, years of resentment and hostility have been building inside of Esau. This is not good brother-brother relationship, even if it is twins. They say twins have a unique bond. They can understand the other person, and if Esau is understanding Jacob really well, he's getting more and more upset. In fact, we read this verse in verse 41 as he steals the blessing. Listen to this verse. Read it with me. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing of his father had given him. And Esau determined in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching, and then I will kill my brother." Now, Isaac and Rebekah, fearful of the imminent murder of their younger son by their older son by a few minutes, sends him away. Rebekah, go to Rebekah's family in Syria, 500 miles away, go. He goes alone. A very dangerous trip in chapter 28, verses 1 through 5. And in this process, while he's there, he gets to his destination for the night, and all he has is a few things, didn't bring a pillow. So he uses a stone for a pillow, and he falls asleep in the desert north of Beersheba. There he is sleeping when God interrupts and says this. Would you read it with me in verse 12? And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching heaven, and God's angels were going up and down on it. Yahweh was standing there beside him saying, I am Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land you are now sleeping on. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out toward the west and the east and the north and the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you. One more time. Look, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God never leaves you. If he seems distant, who moved? We did. Now listen. If God feels distant this morning, we say it again, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You have to stay focused on Christ. You have to stay focused. Your life has to change. If you happen to know it, but you don't show it, then you're not growing it. There's no reality. Your profession doesn't match your possession. We have to sit down and get close to God. He will never leave us. And so there he is in the desert, alone, rejected by his family, sent away. And God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You blew it. I'm with you. You drove yourself away. I'm with you. You made a mistake. I'm here. You ran yourself off. I'm here. Get real. It's not going to be fun now. You're going to be away from home. He doesn't know it's going to be 2 decades, 20 years. And it's going to be awful. But you need to realize, when you've been rejected, you need to be hopeful that God is still accomplishing his plan despite your pain. He's getting something done despite your pain. Did you pay attention to verse 15? Would you read it with me again? Look, I am with you and will watch over you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised with you. In this third family video, God has a plan for our life. That's the point. In fact, I'd like you to say it with me, out loud, with some conviction. God has a plan for my life. One more time. God has a plan for my life. This is what separates us from the Darwinian darkness. The reason evolution isn't true is because there is a God who loved us, created us, and has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for your life. You have a purpose, and you're done when you're dead. Okay? You don't have to worry about the plan anymore. Now listen, you might have messed up like Jacob. It's never too late to get back on track. God wants to take your mess, turn it into a message. He wants to take your failing on the trial, and he wants you to have a testimony. He wants to give grace and compassion to you. Now, how in the world does Jacob respond to this statement that I am with you? Look at what he says, chapter 28. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jacob made a vow. What's a vow? It's a sacred promise to God that I will do what I'm about to say. I made a vow. Here we go. If God will be with me and watch over me and on this journey, and if he provides with me food to eat and clothing to wear, I want you to notice the ifs, two of them, conditional, and if I return safely to my father's house, then, and if, then, Now notice, I want you, I've numbered them because I want you to notice what he promises to do. It's a bunch of conditions, but then there's a bunch of promises. Look what he says. Then the Lord will be my God. That's number one. Number two, this stone that I have set up as a marker will be God's house. That was the one he was sleeping on. And I will give to you a tenth of all you have given me. In other words, you're going to be my God, this is God's house, and I'm going to be generous to you. If. In other words, basically, you've got to take care of me. Now, Jacob knows he's in for a wild ride. He doesn't know what's coming, but he knows he's blown it. You have to be honest. You have to get to that place where you're honest and say, I know I blew it. But you have to be hopeful. God's going to do something in you. You're going to go through some pain if you blow it. If the route you're on is the rocky road and the problem road, you're going to have to hold on to God. You're going to have to hold on to the promise that God is with you. If you're the jerk, you're going to have to get ready for a jerky ride. Right? What you sow is what you reap. And you're just going to have to hold on. You're going to have to understand that the pain and the problems that you're going through in your messed up life are your fault. But God is with you. And He can still accomplish His will if you'll walk with Him. And essentially what happens this night is that Jacob says, I'm putting my stake in the ground, I'll walk with God. But you have to demonstrate yourself. You have to show me. Which leads us to our next video. This video is called Be Cautious with others. Because Satan seeks to destroy God's plan for your life. This lesson in this fourth home video is very clear. Every failure opens a door to our lives and Satan's behind the door. When we fail, we open Satan's allowance into our lives. You can't avoid this as the child of God. You can't blame God for these things. We open the door. There's our problem. And we have to be cautious now. We need to be cautious to stop opening doors that allow Satan to destroy us. We have got to get our act together. And so Jacob, he's waiting. He's watching. Jacob knows that the devil's pouncing on him already. But Jacob has a problem. He's going where? He's going to his uncle's house. The door of failure with Esau happens to have a lion behind it, and the lion of the devil is Laban, his uncle. Your relatives may be your problem. They might be devil's advocates. They might be devil's helpers. They might be the devil himself, for all I know. But I'm telling you, when Jacob walks into Laban's presence, he has not remembered this is mommy's brother. This is mommy's older brother. This is mommy who connived her own husband's blessing out of him. Brother, older, more mature. Maybe mommy learned this before she got to be the wife of daddy. And sure enough, if you want to go back and check the record of Laban, you'll find out this is the house. These are con artists. You'll remember Gehazi in the old Isaac story, go get me a wife. And Abraham had sent him. And young Laban then was saying, well, stick around. That was the con man working. Didn't work. Gehazi was a man of God and got out of there. Genesis 29. The con starts. You know the story if you've read through the Bible. Jacob agrees after he gets there for a month. He agrees he's going to work for 7 years because he doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any ability to pay or to live or to support a wife. And so he goes in and he's going to work for 7 years. He's going to work for 7 years. Count them, 7 years for that gorgeous woman that he absolutely loves, Rachel. Rachel. Now, I don't want you to get all confused about what's going on in the text. I just want you to read it, okay? So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days because of his love for her. And then it's wedding night. And so on wedding night, the bride, the groom, the party, they go into the tent, and the next morning it's not Rachel, it's Leah. Now, I don't know where you come from, but let me just say this, bride, you're a young married guy. Do you think you might have noticed it wasn't joy in the bedroom before the morning? I'm just saying. It's one of my 4,700 questions I've got in heaven. When I get to Jacob, I'm going to say, are you an idiot? You can't tell me they were both shaped identically. You can't tell me both of their voices were the same. 7 years, you probably should have been able to figure out which one was talking to you, even if it was dark. Okay? Well, the con is now in effect, because now you're stuck with her. He goes back and he complains, oh, sorry, in Syria, that's not how we do it. You can't have the younger before you can have the older. So you go ahead and keep her for a week and give her the wedding week, and then you can marry Rachel for, guess what, count them again, 7 more years. I told you to be cautious. When you push your family away from you and you reject God's plan by lack of generosity and kindness, you need to be careful, because every single person may be difficult in your life. May be the trap that Satan's using. You open the door, Lucifer jumps in, and so now we find out that Jacob slept with Rachel also, and indeed loved Rachel more than Leah, and he worked with Laban for another 7 years. Don't get caught up in the distractions. This is one of the goofiest bizarre stories in the Bible. Don't get caught up in the bizarre. 14 years pass and it's time to go home. Paid my day. But the con's not over yet, because Laban's learned that God's favor is upon Jacob. I will be with you. And so everything that Jacob touches, Laban gets a blessing for. And so he negotiates a new contract. And he works to get a new contract. Guess what? Sticks around 6 more years. Go ahead, count them. There's 6 fingers there. 6 more years. Note the delay. Okay? Here's the contract. Read it with me. Laban said, name your wages and I will pay them. So Jacob said, you know what I have done for you and your herds? And Laban asked, what should I give you? And you don't need to give me anything. If you do this one thing for me, I will continue to shepherd and keep your flock. And that one thing was to separate the flock, and he'd take the ones that were mottled so that they couldn't be claimed to be his. So literally they were different colors and stripes. Now I want you to understand, 6 more years, 7 years, 7 years, we're at 20 years. Delay is the devil's greatest tool to destroy the work and plan of God in your life. When you open a door, listen to me, when you open a door and let Satan come in, the plan of God is going to get delayed. And that's the devil's greatest tool, is to delay you from accomplishing his will. Now, having said that, what has God promised? I will be with you. And even in this bizarre scene, you know the scene. This is the strangest passage in the entire Word of God to me. God is working and making his will come. God is working in the midst of this nutsness. Two wives, two porcupines, as the little Sunday school student said, and 10 kids. 4 wives, in essence. Nothing biblical in the whole story. That's bizarre. You should have stopped with one. There's nothing biblical in the whole story. What a mess! What a mess! But in the New Testament, we know something about our messes. Would you read with me Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Jacob was messing up still, and God's still working. Look, I don't know how much mess you've created, but God's still working. God's still working. And so in the fifth home video, we realize we need to be obedient when God speaks. God wants you to obey Him despite the personal cost. There are going to be a time when God says, I've had enough. Now, I'm calling in your marker. I'm calling in your promise. No more delay. No more, as we say back in eastern Wisconsin, shilly-shally. No more. I've had enough. Move. And that's what we see. 6 years of pain in that new contract. By the way, that new contract got changed 9 more times. 9 more times. He changed the agreement. Now, perhaps you're at the end of your rope. And you wonder how much more you can literally take. If that's your case, Jacob tells us that when you're at the end of your rope is when God is about to say, do something, and you better move real quick. You better obey no matter what you think it might cost you. In fact, take a look at this. God speaks to Jacob and he sends him home, and this is what he says. Genesis 31, verse 3. Would you read it with me? Then the Lord said to him, go back to the land of your fathers and to your family.
And I will be with you.
One more time. One more time. I will be with you. You messed up and I'm still with you. For 20 years I've been with you, protecting you. You go home, I'll be with you. Who's home? Esau. What do I have to do to go home? Laban. Someone said a long time ago, family problems are the biggest problems. Jacob now realizes 20 years later, he's made a vow to God and God's called in the marker. Do you remember the vow? Back in Genesis 31, this is what the vow was. Take a look at verse 11. In that dream, the angel of God said to me, Jacob, and I said, here am I, verse 12. And he said, look up and see. All the males that are mating with us, the flocks are streaked and spotted and speckled. I have seen all that Laban has been doing with you. Look it. I am the God of Bethel, where you poured oil on the stone marker and made a solemn vow to me. Get up, leave this land, and return to your native land. I'm the God who says, I heard you. Now, you may have forgot what you told God 20 years ago. You may have forgot the promise. Guess who's never forgot a single promise you made to God? God has never forgotten. And He will remind you. It will come back in vivid 3D, HD. And He will put you back in that moment and He will say, you promised this to me. I'm collecting. 20 years of distraction. 20 years of delay. What was that vow? Remember the vow we read? Here it is. Remember? Way back there. Genesis 28. Jacob made a vow, read it with me, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey, if He provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if we return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up will be a marker to God's house, and I will give you a tenth of all that you give me. God kept His side of the bargain. He's fine. Got 2 wives, 2 porcupines, and 10 kids. And He's got flocks and sheep, and He has got wealth. But before He could get home, He had to deal with some things. Before you can get the blessing of God, you're going to have to deal with your failings. And with your failings, you're going to have to restore some relationships. Jacob was no exception. He actually waited for Laban to go away. And he slipped out while Laban was gone. Because he didn't want to deal with it. Laban heard about it. 3 days later, he catches up. Listen, your past will always catch up to you. Write it down. My past will always catch up with me. I need to deal with it. And so it caught up with him. And he had to deal with it. Now, I want you to also know that the promise was, I will be with you. And the night before Laban comes in contact with Jacob, his son-in-law, we read these words in Genesis 31. Read it with me. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream at night. Watch yourself, God warned him. Don't say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. That's a warning. God will warn the people in your life that you need to deal with when He tells you to deal with them and to take care of your past. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of them. And when Laban comes, Jacob's pretty straight with him in chapter 31. Look at verse 41. Read it with me. For 20 years I've worked in your household, 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flocks. You've changed my wages 10 times.
That's a lot of fun.
If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had not been with me, did you catch that? With me. Certainly now you would have sent me off empty-handed. You would have taken everything back from him, including his daughter. But God has seen my affliction and my hard work, and he issued his verdict last night. God acknowledges that for two decades God has been with him. For two decades God has prospered him. For two decades God has been with him. He also acknowledges that God is with him right now. Let me ask you a question. If you're in a mess, isn't today a good day to acknowledge that God's been with you all along the way? Isn't this a good day? Despite the pain and the hardship and the problems and the troubles that you've went through, probably, maybe, perhaps from your own hand, God has been working to accomplish his plan in your life. Isn't it today? Isn't it today that you should say, God, you're with me, you've been with me, thank you. Thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me. Jacob and his uncle make amends. Laban leaves and goes home. And not anymore had Laban's dust settled. Then God puts it in Jacob's head. Okay, your past is taken care of, but your future needs to be taken care of. You need to get things right with Esau. So he comes up with this idea. I'll send some people and say, I'm coming home. They come back and they say, Esau is coming with 400 men. And Jacob freaks, just like you would. He knows this is the standing army. In Abraham's day, it was 318. Now it's 400. See, Esau's learned. You got to have your own standing army. In the sixth home video, we come to this understanding. It's called be repentant before those you have wronged, I have wronged. We need to be repentant before the people we've wronged. Jacob is afraid and he goes to God. Listen to him as he, just follow along. Let me read this to you. Listen. Then Jacob said, God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, go back to your land and to your family and I will cause you to prosper. Your fault. You told me to go home. I'm talking to you. Okay. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness that you've shown to your servant. Indeed, I crossed over this Jordan with my staff and now I've become two camps. You blessed me. You were with me. I acknowledge it. Please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid of him. Otherwise, he may come and attack me, the mothers and their children. I'm in trouble, and I can't solve this. You sent me into the valley of death. In the New Testament, what do we pray? Pray a very simple prayer. Lead me not into temptation. That comes from Matthew chapter 4, where the Spirit led Jesus right out in the wilderness to be tempted by the Holy Spirit. Listen, God will sometimes lead you in places you don't want to go. You just don't want to go there. Be repentant. Be repentant. You have said, I will cause you to prosper and I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea, which can't be counted. It's going to be hard if we're all dead. He gets done praying and God gives him an elaborate plan to solve the anger that might be, perhaps be, perceived to be in Esau after 20 years. You remember the story? He gives him a gift and then he gives him another gift and he gives him another gift. And so he just gives him a lot of gifts. And the Bible says in Proverbs that everyone's a friend to him who gives gifts. You want friends? Give gifts. If you want to have less friends, seek gifts. Okay? What are you going to give me? Greedy people don't have a lot of friends. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us about these relationships. Read it with me, Romans 12:18. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Circle those two words, if possible. You do everything you possibly can. If you're going to live for reconciliation despite the rejection of our family, we will have to have the blessing of God, which leads us to the seventh home video, and that is be persistent. Don't let go of God or his dream for your life until he blesses you. Jacob fears that army is approaching. Before they arrive, Jacob has an encounter with the living God. You remember he's wrestling with a physical being, perhaps even the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. He's wrestling with him throughout the night in Genesis 32. And in verse 26, we read this. Then he said to Jacob, read with me, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And then verse 27, "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he replied. "Your name will no longer be Jacob," he said. "It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." And he answered, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. 20 years had passed. Cold, heat, indignity, victimized, embarrassment, the whole schmear. And now Jacob calls on the promise of God. And he says this. Read it with me, the underlying portion. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Wow. God had given Jacob many gifts, hadn't he? Two camps, he acknowledged it. Remember what he said? Read it with me. "I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you've shown your servant. Indeed, I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I've become two camps." But Jacob isn't interested in the gifts. He's only interested in the giver. He's not interested in the trinkets. He wants God. He wants an ability to sense the presence of God in his life. We're going to talk about this in January when we talk about going after God with all you've got. So now Jacob has the blessing of God's presence because God blesses him. He can sense the presence of God with him. He has the stuff of God, but he also has the God of the stuff. He can sense that. You see, you might not sense that God is with you. Jacob said, "I couldn't always sense you were with me in the mess. Bless me, I want to sense your presence." And what did God say? "Here's my blessing." What does he do? What does he do as a result? The Bible tells us in Genesis 31:13. Would you read it with me? "I am the God of Bethel, where you poured oil on the stone marker, made a solemn vow to me, get up and leave this land, return to your native land." In the final home video, this is what he does. What does he do? Take a look. We find that in Genesis 33, after Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at Shechem in the land of Canaan and camped in front of the city. He purchased a section of the field where he had pitched his tent, and from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 kasidahs. Now read verse 20 with me. And he set up an altar there and called it God, the God of Israel. Jacob came to a realization of who God really was. This is who he was. El Elohe Israel. El, the name of God, the strong one. No obstacle can stop this God. That's what El talks about. Elohe, the strong one, obstacle-overcoming God whom we can depend on, who is distinct, who is separate from all the false gods of the universe. God is able to take any obstacle. 20 years in Syria working for my con artist uncle, and overcome any obstacle and accomplish his will. Israel, he's my God. He's personal. He cares about me. He speaks with me. He guides me. He watches over me. He protects me no matter who is going to do whatever they want to. God is with me. This video should be called Be Appreciative. In other words, we need to acknowledge God's hand of total authority over our life. And we need to pay our vows, whatever we promise, because God's waiting for that. He's waiting for us to fulfill the promise we made to Him. Now I wonder, in this message, if you've figured out today that God has been with you all along the way. Despite the mess you've created, and the detour that you've taken, and the delay that you've been on, have you figured out that God is with you? If so, isn't it a good day to start paying your vows, fulfilling your promises that you made to God along the way? Will you show your appreciation today for God's presence despite your messes? You see, the point today is very simple. When your family rejects you, God is still with you. Let's pray. You are Yahweh, the promise-keeping God, the God of personal relationships, the God of our father of faith, Abraham. And you are the God of Isaac and Jacob. You are the giving God, the God who gives us and our offspring the people of the land that we're now sleeping on. Our offspring will be like the dust of the earth because of your favor. We will spread out toward the west and the east and the north and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through us and our offspring as we seek to make disciples of all the nations. You are with us, and you will watch over us wherever we go. You will not leave us until you have done what you have promised to do through us and in us. We trust you, and we honor you today by fulfilling our promises that we made to you long ago. We honor you right now and place all of our hope and trust in you. Thank you for having been with us all along the way. For your name and in your fame, we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen.
With that powerful prayer, we begin our study, God is with us.